Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another edition of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard, your host from over at FanRagSports.com. Trevor has the flu, and he's trying to dodge this hurricane, so he's a little bit preoccupied right now. But no worries. I went to the bullpen to bring out Ben Solak. He covers the Eagles over at Bleeding Green Nation. Also works with me over at NDTScouting.com, covering the NFL draft, and is the co-host of Locked On Eagles. If you haven't checked out Locked On Eagles, he and Michael Kiss do an unbelievable job over there with that podcast. They just took it over, but really just well-formatted shows, and they bring really good dialogue, good back and forth. So if you haven't checked those guys out and you're an Eagles fan, I'm telling you, that is the spot to be and the spot to check out. But Ben, how are you today, man? Thanks so much for joining the podcast.
Oh, not a problem at all, John. Thanks for having me. I can understand why you called me up. Equally as handsome as Trevor, equally as witty, great hair. Incredibly strong. Pretty much, nothing will change. Just right. Same old. But I'm doing well, man.
That's great to hear. You covered Alabama, Florida State last week for NDT
yes,
Scouting.
Sir.
And I know we want to look ahead to this week's games, but you wrote up, you had really extensive game notes on that. For people who didn't get to check those out, give them like the snapshot version, of that game and what your takeaways were, your impressions were, who stood out the most to you on both teams in that Alabama Florida State matchup.
Sure thing. I think, kind of the way that I ended up titling the post was talking about the exchange going on between Derek Nnadi, the defensive tackle for Florida State, and then Daron Payne, the defensive tackle for Alabama. Because I've got a soft spot in my heart for, just big, quick, powerful defensive linemen, especially on the interior. And, man, I mean, those guys just showed up to play, both of them. And I was expecting it a little bit from Nnadi, just, his ability as a potential two-gapper, where he locks in inside of your pads, and he has some of the strongest hands I think I've ever watched.
Yeah.
You'll watch him make tackles where a running back's hitting a gap next to him. He sticks out one arm, gets it inside the pads, and just drags the kid down. I mean, his grip strength is incredible. Mm-hmm. And so his potential as a two-gapper moving forward, where he can really just start ragdolling centers and guards in front of him and then present in the gap, is really, really encouraging. That's not even to detract from his off-the-ball quickness. Like, he does have the ability to get into a gap as a one-gapping sort of one-tech and really cause problems there. He does need to show a little bit more as far as pass rush moves go, but his ability, to create pressure with power and to relocate an offensive lineman back into the pocket is impressive. Daron Payne, on the other hand, I mean, I kind of had that question mark, is Alabama really going to be able to cycle in and replace Dalvin Tomlinson and Jonathan Allen successfully there in the interior? And, I mean, Daron Payne just blew it out of the water. It's so frustrating, man. You want them to be worse one year, just once. You want
right.
them to take a step back, but they don't. It's maddening, and it's really just impressive. But Daron Payne's ability, man, incredible range, moving sideline to sideline from like a zero tech position. He's making tackles on the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
He's got quickness. He understands angles. He constant motor, constant interior pressure, works his hands consistently. Those two defensive tackles and really the lines as a whole, Brian Burns, a sophomore out of Florida State, was flashing on the edge. And then Jonah Williams, that offensive tackle out of Alabama, I missed him in my game notes because I wasn't watching him at all because he was doing such a good job. And then,
right.
I'm going through and I'm just on Twitter hanging out and people are saying, Jonah Williams, this tackle out of Alabama, got to watch him. And I go back and I mean, he had everybody on lockdown. It was beautiful to watch. And so really those two lines were so much fun to watch in the Florida State Bama game.
Oh yeah, absolutely agree. And I'm looking through your notes right now again, it's funny because you just had so many dudes to watch. It's insane. I mean, it's almost impossible on a live watch. It's really close to impossible to get a feel for absolutely everybody. But I thought that your notes were incredibly extensive for having so many different people to watch. And I completely agree with you. Nnadi was insane in that game. I thought he was absolutely phenomenal. So I think I saw a swim move and a spin because I had the same concern. I didn't see a lot of consistent pass rush moves from him. but I think I saw him trying to work some moves at a couple times that excited me at least. So we'll see how that progresses, but he is my type of player for sure. No question there. Before we jump into this week's games and what to look for there, buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It has been by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere. With just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. Use SeatGeek in the past to buy tickets both for concerts that I've gone to and for sporting events and various games. It is extremely helpful, and it really, you can tell that it's designed to make the ticket buying experience easier than ever because it saves you time and money, searches multiple ticket sites to compare prices, find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, with the season right around the corner, our listeners get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Make sure you guys are checking that out. Ben, we got an interesting slate of games coming up this week. Not a ton of high-profile matchups early in the day. There's some interesting ones, and we'll circle back to those. But let's start with the big boys, the guys, some of these night games. Auburn, Clemson, and to me, when we saw Kelly Bryant last week, I know someone already said, some big college football person already said, you know, it's Deshaun Watson all over again. Pump the brakes on that because I think they beat like some small school, and I think we need to just pace ourselves a little bit before we compare him to one of the better quarterbacks in recent college football history. But Kelly Bryant did some really nice things. That's the concern spot, right? Clemson's loaded at every other position. If the quarterback play is good, this is a really good team, and Auburn's also trying to get good quarterback play for the first time in a while with Jarrett Stidham. Is it a matchup of these two guys? Is that who you're most looking forward to seeing square off, even if Bryant isn't draft eligible yet?
Yeah, I definitely think that it's going to be fun to watch and see Kelly Bryant against a higher quality of defense for sure. I mean, I was popping back between his game against Kent State and Penn State versus Akron, and it was just, you know, which slaughterfest did I prefer to watch at which time, you know what I mean? He was shredding the field left and right. They were on the third string quarterback by the time the game was over just because they were sitting everybody. I'm particularly interested in seeing, obviously Arden Key out of LSU. I think, you know, he's got this incredible potential as this long, high cut, incredibly bendy pass rusher. And he, you know, it's questionable what his commitment to football is and, you know, how engaged he is as far as, you know, his future. He's been so wishy-washy as far as what he wants to do. And that Auburn offensive line is pretty stout. You know, you've got Braden Smith in there who he's playing tackle. He's a solid prospect for the NFL draft. And so I'm interested to see that's a matchup that I want to watch. And maybe that's just because I love the trenches so much. But I'm really interested in seeing Key go up against a higher quality of offensive tackle and Braden Smith.
I think it's going to be interesting to see Clemson this week because, like you mentioned it, seeing Kelly Bryant against a higher quality opponent is definitely going to be a great matchup for him. But also, when you look at this receiving group, they need a higher quality of opponent as well. You know, Deion Kane, I think a lot of people are looking for a shortcut wide receiver one in this group and then or in this class. I mean, this upcoming draft class. And Hunter Renfro's done some really good things. I tend to be higher on him, I think, than most people. Ray McLeod. You know, this group has a lot of talent, and I think seeing them up against a higher quality opponent in the secondary in Auburn could be a really good matchup for them.
Absolutely. You wonder how much. You know, we don't know exactly yet Kelly Bryant's dedication to keeping his eyes up and moving to his second and his third read because he really didn't have to do that much in week one, you know. And then when the run was open for him, he was slashing through, you know, the second level. And so it'll be very interesting to see if there's a team that can force Bryant to stay in the pocket and move through his reads and how he responds to that. Because if he becomes more of a run-first sort of guy, it's going to detract from the evaluation that you get on some of these wide receivers. You know, Watson, for all of his physical tools, was still able to go through progressions and you know, give Renfro a chance on third downs instead of just tucking the ball and running it.
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting challenge for Clemson, because I still think if Bryant plays at a high level, they honestly are right back in the picture to be in the college football playoff. But it's just, there's that element of unknown that this could be a huge game for him, a great test, SEC opponent, going to be a huge game for him and for Clemson in general, but especially for those skill players as well. The game that I'm slated to watch this week and cover for NDTScouting.com that I'm really excited about is Oklahoma-Ohio State. I thought last year when these two teams met, Oklahoma got off to a pretty fast start. I thought they looked good initially. Then they kind of just really sputtered out toward the end of the game, and Ohio State obviously got the victory. And I think the margin, the final margin, looked bigger than you would have thought had you watched just the beginning of the game. I'm a little bit worried about Ohio State, and I'm pretty high on Baker Mayfield compared to most. Where do you fall on this game, and who are you most looking forward to check out?
I'm glad that you're high on Baker Mayfield as well, because I love the way Baker Mayfield plays. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. There's a great article with Mark Schofield from Inside the Pylon that's just titled Baker Mayfield and Chaos. Like, cause that's just the nature of his game, you know? Yeah. Just he's the emotional investment he has in the game, and you can tell, you know, the way that he leads is so magnetic. And then he's a playmaker. I mean, he's a gamer. He wants to win the game. He's going to do anything necessary. And I love that nature. Sure, you know, it'd be a little bit better if maybe he protected the ball and he didn't take as many shots. But, you know, he can pass from the pocket and from off platform. He can go through reads. He's got excellent vision. He can run when he needs to. I love Mayfield. And, yeah, that Ohio State secondary is a little suspect. And I think it would be huge for Baker Mayfield's projection, kind of moving up into that top tier of quarterbacks, which is a big tier, if he can really show up against Ohio State and shred them, which I think is a strong possibility there. And also, you know, that Indiana tight end, whose name is escaping me right now, I can't remember, but he was looking pretty good against Ohio State as well. They were using him a lot. Mark Andrews, who had a coming-out party against UTEP, you know, career highs, the tight end out of Oklahoma, he's got the opportunity to, I think, really impact his draft stock as well, because if he can have another fantastic game against a higher-quality opponent, there's no defined tight end one yet. You know, there's no O.J. Howard that's being talked up like a top 15 prospect. So Mark Andrews can really delineate himself this week as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a huge week for Andrews, and a good test for the Ohio State wide receiver corps. I mean, they're replacing some people, and Paris Campbell's a name that's been tossed around a ton. Johnny Dixon had a touchdown last week, and you know, both redshirt juniors, so see what they can do against corners like Jordan Thomas and some of the other defensive backs that Oklahoma offers. That should be a fun test for both sides of things. To me, it's going to be another opportunity to see Orlando Brown against quality competition and Nick Bosa and Sam Hubbard and Tyquan Lewis. And last year, I thought he handled himself pretty well for the most part. This is probably one of his toughest tests throughout the season, though, is going to be this matchup.
Oh, absolutely, man. I love Orlando Brown. There's nothing better than like a 6'8 offensive tackle. He's just a wall. You know, how do you get around him? He's massive.
He's usually not my type, to be honest. I tend to like guys who are not quite as high, because I think they struggle so much with the leverage battle. But I thought his tape last year was pretty impressive. I didn't see those struggles as much.
No, that was my issue with Pochick last year out of LSU. I just thought he was too high up to play on the interior. But Brown, you know, you go in there and you kind of expect that, knowing his measurements. And then he moves his feet quick, and he has the ability to get low when he needs to. And that's really impressive. And it's what helps his draft stock immensely. Dude, that Ohio State defensive line is something else. It's unbelievable how many edge rushers they can cycle in year after year. Yep. And little Bosa just looks, I mean, 10 types of dirty. It's not fair the way that they can do that. Yep. You also got to watch out for, I'm going to say the name and I'm going to get it. Ogbonnaya Okoronkwo. The edge rusher. Edge rusher in Oklahoma. That dude's twitchy, man. He's fun to watch too. You know, he's definitely a little bit undersized. And so you wonder about how he'll hold up against the run in the NFL. But, man, he can burst around the edge. And Ohio State's a good test for him as well. That's what's nice about these top 10 matchups, man. Everybody gets a good benchmark.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jamarco Jones is the senior left tackle for Ohio State. If he plays both sides, I believe, Okoronkwo, or at least he did last year. But he'll get to face him and Isaiah Prince, who really struggled last season. I didn't get to catch him against Indiana to see if he improved or not. But it should be. There's fun matchups all over the field this week in that contest. That's a must-watch game, and I'm really excited to get to it. But Georgia-Notre Dame, too, also another one. Notre Dame's offensive line, especially that left side, really dominant. But a good chance to see McGlinchey against guys like Lorenzo Carter and Davin Bellamy and some of the edge rushers that Georgia offers as well. Could be an interesting matchup within that game is how McGlinchey handles those guys. Lorenzo Carter worked with Chuck Smith in the offseason and could have improved his stock a good bit. We'll get to see him really tested, I think, for the first time this week. But and Trenton Thompson on the inside as well, going to be a little bit of a load for Quentin Nelson to handle. So that offensive-defensive line matchup between the two, that your biggest takeaway from that game, is that what you're most looking forward to watching?
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, that's one of my games for NDT as well. Mm. And, I mean, I've been able to take cursory looks at McGlinchey and at Quentin Nelson, but I haven't gotten deep into both of them yet, and I'm just so excited to see what happens along that line. You know, we've talked a couple of times now about just how much fun it is to watch big uglies go to work. And, I mean, those two guys next to each other, it's just highlight reel after highlight reel. You know, that's what Jeff Schwartz lives for, man. I mean, mm-hmm. those guys are filthy yeah. there on the outside. And then, yeah, that Bulldogs defense has a lot of guys who, you know, you see the potential there. It hasn't necessarily been realized yet. It hasn't necessarily come to fruition for all of them. And so they definitely have the opportunity as the season goes along to kind of step forward and move themselves up a couple tiers. I also, you know, I was that guy in 2014 where I was watching Nick Chubb and I was saying, you know, yeah, I mean, consensus running back number one when he comes out to his class. And then, you know, just the awful, the tear, all three tendons, you know, terrible stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we had, you know, we had that experience when we did the all NDT team, right? The all draft eligible team,
right?
Of having Scott Bischoff, one of the national scouts, go for Nick Chubb over Darius Geis. I think he went over Geis as far as his you
big
know,
mistake, but his, we'll let it go.
Yeah, his first team, which was yeah, crazy. But I'm firmly in that camp where I would do anything to see Geis come, or excuse me, anything to see Nick Chubb come back with full bursts.
Right. Yeah.
Because the way that he ran back, it was perfect. It was. You know, musical is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you've seen a little bit of that. You know, they've definitely been rotating it in with your boy, Sonny Michel. And so, you know, it's debatable how many carries he'll get. But
right.
Nick Chubb is that guy that you want to come back so badly. And so I can't wait to watch him again and really hope that he's able to come back with that full explosiveness that he once had. Mm-hmm. And if he does, he's up in the conversation with Barkley and Geis. I don't know if he's passing. If anybody, I think he'll pass Barkley because Geis is my running back one.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I you got to put him up there in that conversation. So, you know, the hope is that Nick Chubb looks like he once did, man. He was a fun watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Stanford-USC, the other matchup between two ranked opponents going on in the evening. Sam Darnold didn't have a great week, and I'm curious about your thoughts on Darnold in general and where you fall kind of on this quarterback class, where he would fall for you and how you see the entire group.
Absolutely, yeah. So the way that I've always framed how I feel about Sam Darnold, which coming into this year, he was my QB1 moving in, mm-hmm. was I'm buying what he's selling. And which is to say that I don't think he's right now a guy where I could plug him in and start, you know, on a team that I never have. And you can see the mechanical issues that kind of lead to that conclusion. But everything that he's showing me as far as potential goes with his ball placement, with his anticipation, with his progression through reads, with his ability to throw off platform and off rhythm, all of these NFL-y sort of looks, we've seen him demonstrate at times, you know, and then at other times we've seen him struggle. And to which I responded, you know, this is his, what, like 10th, 11th start? Mm-hmm. This is his red shirt sophomore year. Let's, you know, pump the brakes. The kid has 2 years of eligibility left. And looking after the 2019 class, I don't know if I were in his camp, and there's no reason to suspect that he might incur, you know, injury, that he has something nagging that, like, you know, could be a problem. I would be telling him, hey, consider waiting a year because you've got some thick competition in the quarterback class this year, and right. next year I don't think it looks nearly as strong. You know, talking about that Western Michigan game, I think, you know, his mechanics took a big step back.
Yeah.
And I think that he spent a lot of offseason working on throwing the ball in a way that he doesn't naturally throw it. You know, whenever I watch quarterbacks, the way I was kind of, you know, taught to watch them is that dipping the ball to the waist isn't an issue in and of itself. If it slows down the release, then it is. But
right.
Darnold's release was always, you know, quick enough that he could pass it in the NFL without problem. And when you throw with the anticipation that he does, it kind of negates those issues. But you see him coming out now, and he's trying to throw the ball without dipping it so much so that he's not retracting the scapula nearly enough, and he's not divorcing his shoulders from his hips. So his entire body is just kind of rotating as one entity, and it just becomes like all arm. And you lose placement with that. The ball wobbles when it comes out like that, and it's not pretty. And so I think he's trying to throw it away that he doesn't naturally do it in an attempt to make it look right. And you just want to tell him, just sling it the best way that you can. And if we really need to clean something up, then we will. But the way he was throwing the ball his redshirt freshman year, there wasn't too much to clean up. He was a pretty consistent passer. And so I'm still, you know, Darnold quarterback one. That being said, if Lamar Jackson does what he did against Purdue every week, then we've got to have a conversation because, I mean, he looked incredible against Purdue. But Darnold's still my quarterback one. I just, you know, I worry about him trying to learn something he doesn't need to learn and thus screwing with his mechanics still at such a young age.
Yeah, mechanics looking worse was not something I anticipated. I hoped that they would be either the same or improved.
Yeah.
Because I did see a couple times last year where I thought it affected him and where he was late on a couple throws and defensive backs were able to see the motion starting and break on the ball a little bit quicker because of it. But overall, I still liked him a lot. The mechanics were 100% worse, and that's really concerning because sometimes I think when you have a motion like that that has a little bit of a hitch to it, you're more likely for the hitch to get bigger, and we've seen that. We saw that with a couple guys in the NFL, but Bortles really comes to mind. Even Carson Wentz toward the end of last year, it started to become a little bit bigger, but I think he's cleaned it up a lot from what we've seen so far. But you know, his issue is not nearly as significant as Bortles and Byron Leftwich and some other people we've seen over the years with those mechanical issues. You know, the big, obvious mechanical issues, I should say. So definitely concerning to me. We'll keep an eye on it. Like you said, why is there a hurry to come out as a redshirt sophomore, you know, in what will be a class that the NFL at least probably likes? So, yeah, I agree with you. You know, let's pump the brakes and see what happens there. But should be a good test for him against a tough Stanford defense with lots of talent in the secondary. Two really good corners and Quentin Meeks and Elijah Holder and just a good defense in general in Stanford. So to be a great test for Darnold. Much tougher test than the Western Michigan game. How about one last question for you, Ben, just in general on the week, on the weekend and all these games that we have coming up around the corner. Who are some players or just one or two, maybe, or just one, maybe if he really stands out in your mind, you're really excited to get a look at, maybe you didn't see last week, you want to see more of this week, or struggled last week or did great last week that you didn't have on your radar, somebody along those lines that you're just looking forward to seeing this weekend?
Oh, absolutely. First one comes from my second game that I get to watch for NDT Scouting, which is the TCU-Arkansas bout. Mm-hmm. And did you see those clips of that kid, Siwo Alunilua? Oh, dang it. Alunilua? Yeah?
Yeah.
No, yeah, this TCU running back, he got something to him, man. I mean, he was moving and grooving there week one for TCU, and so I get to watch him play. And nice. They've got the other running back there as well with TCU, Kyle Hicks as well. They've got two TCU backs who are very interesting, and so I'm excited to watch those guys. Always, you know, this running back class, it's always fun to find those guys who should go third round but will go fifth round just because of the nature of how the position is valued and then also the incredible game breakers up there in the top tier. And so it's fun because if you can really riddle out the one that has, you know, high potential but he'll go in a later round, that's an incredibly valuable pick. And you saw a lot of teams make those picks, you know, in this past draft, grabbing Marlon Mack and Jamal Williams and Danelle Pumphrey and whoever you like, you know, in rounds 4 and 5. So Siwo Alunilua will be my number one for sure. And then the other guy that I'm just too excited to watch was, because of all the busyness last week, I was not able to get a full good look at Josh Rosen, who's my quarterback too, who I also love. And so I ended up, you know, I wanted to watch him so bad, but I was exhausted. It was a long weekend. And so I ended up tweeting out, you know, like, after all these quarterbacks kind of had these rough weeks, Josh Rosen is about to show y'all what he can do. And then I went to sleep. And then I woke up and got all the notifications, and I lost my mind. I love Rosen. Rosen's a pure gamer, man. I mean, he just, you know, when I tweeted that out, I did not expect a 34-point comeback, I'll be honest. But I still, you know, I thought, kind of knowing Rosen's nature a little bit, I really think that he consciously saw how some of the other quarterbacks in his class didn't have that good of a week, and he said, you know what, like, I want to put on a show. Like, right. That's just Rosen's nature, you know. Like, most quarterbacks would never admit to that, but I really think, knowing kind of the way Rosen is, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually did that. Right. And so I really hope to get to watch UCLA and get deeper into Rosen tape live and kind of see the way that he manages that offense. Because, you know, there's that talk about, oh, whether or not he's coachable. But if he keeps on putting up performances like that, there's going to be a few coaches in this league who say, I really don't care whether or not he's coachable. I just want to bring him on my team so he brings me back from 34-point holes, you know? Mm-hmm. It's going to be Siwo Alunilua and Josh Rosen is my two guys.
There you go. There you go. I like it. I love it. Good stuff from Ben Solak. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak, S-O-L-A-K. Make sure you do that. Follow him on Twitter. Terrific follow. Always great insights from him on Twitter. And now on the podcast as well. So you can follow his work over at Eagles at Bleeding Green, covering the Eagles, Bleeding Green Nation, and then over at ndtscouting.com covering the NFL draft. And then he's also the co-host of Locked On Eagles, one of our sister podcasts. There's like a million of them now because good hosts are popping up all over the place for the Locked On Network. It's really great stuff.
Yep.
Ben, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. You have a good one, my man.
Hey, you too. And we'll be back tomorrow. See if we can raise Trevor out of his bed. See if we can get him out here for us to give our NFL predictions for the season we'll go. We'll step away from the scouting stuff like we do and have some fun on Fridays and get to some of the other thoughts around the league and, you know, how we see the division stacking up and who we see the wild cards and the playoffs and playoff teams being and things of that nature. So make sure you tune in for that tomorrow.
Thank goodness I was not brought on for Friday, man. I would not be able to last. I couldn't handle it.
I was going to say, I don't know where Trevor's going to rank the Eagles, so we may need to hold off there on bringing you on for that one because you guys might fight it out. I have the Eagles pretty high, so I'll give that a little peek. Yeah. So, but make sure you guys tune in for that tomorrow. Should be really fun stuff. And as always, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.